الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد فقد قال الله عز وجل في كتابه العزيز واذكر في الكتاب إبراهيم إنه كان صديقا نبيا وقال الله عز وجل في شان حبيبه مخبرا وآمرا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا ومولانا محمد وبارك وسلم وصل عليه الصلاة والسلام عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله. All praise and glory is to none other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And salutations and peace and blessings be upon our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also upon the Khalilullah, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and his family. May Allah azza wa jal enable us all to remain steadfast in the deen of Islam and to follow in the footsteps of our forefather Ibrahim Khalilullah, and also in the footsteps of our beloved messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make today a means for our forgiveness and purification and guidance, and enable us to enter into the gardens of paradise on the day of Qiyamah. Allahumma ameen. Alhamdulillah, over the last few days we have been celebrating the beautiful day of Eidul Adha. And we have been remembering the beautiful life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. Previously on Jumu'ah, we began a discussion which was a conversation between a father and a son. The father being Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam and the son being Sayyidina Ismail alayhi salam. And we extrapolated 7 particular key points from that very short conversation and dialogue between father and son. And we learned that it is paramount, absolutely essential for the father to be an active father within the household. And for the father to make sure that he gives good tarbiyah, good akhlaq, good upbringing towards all of his children. And for him to have effective and clear communication with his children in all social, world and religious affairs. And to instill within his children faith, but with yaqeen, faith with conviction in why we are doing what we are doing and understanding of our beautiful deen. And then we also learned how it is absolutely essential to ensure that we always have a process of consultation, shura, between the father, the mother, and all of the children. And this is how unity and how things develop in a productive manner. And then we learned how we need to encourage as fathers and push our children towards healthy tests within their lives, because tests is part and parcel of human nature and our creation. And we should reward them in their dini affairs just the way we reward them in their worldly affairs. And finally, the lesson we learned was the importance of leaving a beautiful legacy in Islam, the legacy of being remembered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for many, many generations ahead. So this was a conversation between a father and a son. And today, insha'Allahu al-Aziz, we will have a conversation between a son and a father, which is equally important because dialogue must always work in both ways. So today's conversation, as I mentioned, is between the son and the father. And the son here, though, the son is Ibrahim alayhi salam. And the father here is the father of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, which is there mentioned in the Quran. So just general, let's do an overview of what family is and the importance of having a family within your own personal life, and also the impact it has on society. Our families, the families that we have, can be our greatest strength. Because when you have your mother and your father, when you have your siblings around you, you feel a sense of belonging, a sense of power, a sense of ownership, or a sense of something within the home or within the community and society. But family can also be something which creates a lot of weakness within you. If the family is unhealthy and the family is unstable, then you can also become unstable and weak. The family can enable you to achieve so much in your life, so much success. They push you, they encourage you in your deen and your dunya, and you can achieve great heights in your lifetime and also in the hereafter. But if your family are not productive, then your family can be a source of your failing. And the failing not just of the dunya, but more importantly, the failing of the hereafter. And if you just reflect back on your childhood to your present here today, majority of our experiences, they revolve around our family. How our father treated us, how our mother treated us, how we were treated as siblings, whether we were treated equally or not, and the relationships and the dynamics that ensued within our homes. So the most experiences can be from our family. At the same time, the most traumatic experiences can also stem and originate from our families as well. If you have a father or a mother who is shouting and screaming and fighting and bickering and abusing you physically or emotionally or mentally, all of this comes from the source of the family, because conflicts are inevitably there inherently within each and every family. So families, sometimes they abuse one another. And they abuse the children within the family. It can lead to physical and mental abuse and emotional abuse that we see. But families can also cause an abuse or some form of violence which is far greater than all of those, which is a spiritual abuse. When they do not correct your aqidah or instill the correct aqidah within your heart and their belief and the tawheed and the monotheism of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is a greater situation, a dire situation that we tend to overlook. So with our family, whether it is your parents, your uncles and aunts or your grandparents, we have a sense of belonging, we have a sense of community. And without them, we do feel alone. Ask a yatim, ask a person who has no father, who has no mother, ask a person who has no parents at all, and they're going from care home to care home to care home, from one person to another person, just constantly living their life almost homeless. This is how they're living, how they feel in terms of their emotions and their feelings and the feeling of abandonment and the feeling of being lost. So this is what family does to an individual. When it is sound, it produces something beautiful. When the family is unsound, then it produces something which is quite dark and dangerous. But the conversation that I mentioned at the beginning is today between a son and a father. And there will come times within our own lives as sons where we need to be the ones to guide our parents. Often the guidance comes from top down, where our parents are guiding us. But that is when the parents are healthy. When the parents are unhealthy, then the guidance needs to come from bottom up. And the children need to be the one who are guiding their parents in towards that which is good and that which is beneficial. So today's story is a story of a teenager. And Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, according to the historians, was between 12 to 15 years of age. So a very, very young teenager at this particular time in his life, having this conversation with his father. And his father was no ordinary man. And we can all kind of reflect upon this, because when we are young, we look up towards our parents, especially our fathers, and they have a sense of authority, they have a sense of prestige and a sense of, you know, status within the home as well as within the society. And you don't ever, you know, think about challenging the status quo of that time, because he's your father. And the father will just say, "Hoy," and that's it. You know, you'll look down and that's it. You won't have a conversation again. But this is Ibrahim alayhi salam, a teenager like many of us here today, 12 to 15 years of age, having this conversation with his father, who was the elite of his society, who is there within the society. And we can see in the Quran very explicitly when he is mentioned that he is the one who is the manufacturer of these statues and these idols. And he is the one who is propagating this form of worship, which is other than the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah Azza wa Jalla in the glorious Quran, he begins with this beautiful description that وَذْكُرْ فِي الْكِتَابِ إِبْرَاهِيمِ إِنَّهُ كَانَ صِدِّيقًا نَبِيًّا. To relate, to recall, and to remember in the book, i.e. in the life of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, how was he described? That surely he was an honest a truthful and a rightly guided prophet and person from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how he was described. And the youngsters that grow into this dunya, they are generally free from all of the external things that we kind of accumulate as we grow up. The youngsters generally are pure and free from all of those type of deficiencies. And this is especially in relation to Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this story in this particular way. And he teaches us a very, very important thing at the beginning for any individual, for any son, that you within yourself, whenever you have any conversation to with anybody else, you always need to be honest. And you always need to be truthful to yourself, because he is described as Siddiqan Nabiya. And you also need to make sure that you carry that truth and that honesty towards your parents as well. Towards your parents. If you are on haqq, if you are on haqq, and you see any practice within your home which is going against the sharia, against the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, then whether you are young, or whether you are a son, or whether you are a daughter, you have a duty imposed upon you by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to speak up and to correct that. To speak to your parents, whether you know you look up to them or whether you don't look up to them. Why? Because as children we are always concerned for the welfare of our parents. When they are sick, when they are elderly, when they are ill, or anything happens, the children come running towards their parents because they want to make sure that their parents are okay. We're concerned for their welfare of the dunya. But equally, the children need to be concerned for the welfare of our parents, for their akhirah. Not just dunya, and not just for the culture. Because many things that we do, whether it's our religious practices, or especially our cultural practices, they are not conducive. They are not beneficial for our deen, and especially for our akhirah. So if you do need to challenge the status quo within your home, or challenge cultural practices, or challenge religious practices, whether you are young like Ibrahim alayhi salam or older, you need to speak up and be honest and be truthful towards your parents. And just the way you would save them from the worldly loss, you also need to save them from the eternal loss of the hereafter. Because many times our parents are just doing what they were taught to do by their forefathers, and they actually haven't studied the deen, or they don't truly understand the culture and all of these other things. But if you do, then you need to make sure that you inform them. So there's nothing more important, as they say, in films and in dramas, etc., then there's nothing more important than family. If there is nothing more important than family, then why do we not do everything to make sure that we keep our family together here in the dunya, and more importantly, our family remains united in the hereafter, and you will be with your father, you will be with your mother, and you will be with your siblings in the hereafter. So this is the first lesson that we learn from the story and conversation of a son and a father, to be honest and be truthful to your parents when you need to speak up. When you need to speak up and challenge cultural practices and challenge the status quo. The second thing that we learn from this conversation of Ibrahim alayhi salam, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala explicitly mentions in the Quran, Ya abati, lima ta'budu ma la yasma'u wa ma la yubsiru wa la yughni anka shay'a. That, oh my dear beloved father, 12 to 15 year old, saying, I can't understand why you would worship these things, these idols, these statues, these deities that cannot hear whatsoever, and they cannot see in any way, and neither can they benefit you in any particular way. The verses of the Quran, we see that this is dialogue taking place between Ibrahim alayhi salam and his father, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses these particular words. And there are certain historians or mufassir who opine that this is the uncle, but this is a debate and dialogue between the mufassirin. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself uses this particular word, and he uses it for a particular reason. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could have used any other particular word had he chosen, had he wished. So this is a dialogue between the mufassirin, and we don't need to get into that. The point is, this is a conversation between a son and a father when he says, Ya abati, that, oh my dear beloved father, I can't understand why you worship things that cannot hear, that cannot see, that cannot benefit you in any particular way. And this is an important lesson for us as children as well as youngsters, that when you are having a dialogue and conversation with your father or with your mother or with your uncle, and you see that there are practices which are not in line with the Sharia, then when you engage, you need to make sure that you engage in a humble manner, that you engage in a gentle manner, and you are not afraid, nevertheless, to speak up and to challenge what they are doing, irrespective of whether they are your father or whether they are your relative or a person of authority. The third thing that we learn from this conversation of Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he continues in the verses that ya abati inni qad ja'ani min al-'ilmi ma lam ya'tika fattabi'ni ahdika siratan sawiya, that oh my dear beloved father, a knowledge has come to me that has not yet come to you. Sometimes when our parents look towards our children and they think they know it all, oh, and our children say to our parents, Lucy, you know, you're jahil and you're ignorant, you don't know anything about technology, about the media, about society, and you haven't studied anything. This is the wrong approach. We see Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, he's using his wisdom and he's being intelligent in the way that he is engaging with his father at time and not being obnoxious. And he's saying, a knowledge has come to me, a form of knowledge has come to me from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that had not yet come to you, that you do not understand. And therefore, فَاتَّبِعْنِي أَهْدِكَ صِرَاطًا سَوِيًّا, therefore follow me and I will be able to guide you on that which is far more straighter, i.e. the straight path, the path of Tawheed, the path of Islam, the path of monotheism, a path that will make sense to you. So again, our youngsters, when they see cultural practices, social practices, or religious practices, and they're going against the principles of Sharia, you need to be humble and gentle in the way that you approach your parents. You need to be intelligent and wise in the way that you approach your parents. And then the fourth thing that we can learn from the kissa and this conversation is when he says, Ya Abati, do not allow yourselves, لا تعبد الشيطان, إن الشيطان كان للرحمن عصيا. That, oh my dear beloved father, don't allow yourself to follow or to obey evil people or the shaytan. Indeed, he is the most evil. The shaytan has always been disobedient to the one, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So again, when we see various cultural practices within our communities or religious practices which are going against the principles, we, yes, the children, the youngsters need to be concerned and they need to be sincere in the way that they engage with their parents rather than threaten them or degrade them. He could have said that shaitan is the most disobedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he could have said Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qahhar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is jabbar. But no, he mentions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is lirrahmani, to the most merciful, that he is the most disobedient, this particular individual. So again, that dialogue, that communication that we have, how you communicate and how you express and the words that you use will differentiate between whether you succeed or whether you fail in that particular conversation. And then the fifth principle that we learn from this particular conversation, that he says that I, ya abati inni akhafu an yamassaka adhabun min ar-rahmani fatakuna lish-shaytani waliya. That he, again, he's showing his compassion, he's showing his hope, and he's showing his concern towards his father. And he's not saying, look, I am arrogant, or I think I know best, and you don't know what you're doing, and you're going to burn in hell, and this is going to happen to you, and that's going to happen to you. But no, he says, I fear that a punishment may touch you from the most merciful, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you will end up becoming a friend of the shaitan, i.e. following in the footsteps of the shaitan. So we can see this particular conversation between Ibrahim alayhi salam, that he's speaking in his entire dialogue with true love and concern from the depths of his heart. So when you have certain things which don't fit with you in your heart, and you realize these are cultural expectations, these are cultural demands, or these are things going on in society, or these are religious practices where you should not be going and worshipping graves, you should not be going and believing in superstition, and going and listening to X, Y, and Z. You have these concerns within your heart, and you have a genuine fear for your parents, just the way parents have a genuine fear for their children. You need to also reciprocate that and have a genuine concern for your parents and speak to them, but speak to them humbly and gently. Speak to them with wisdom and intelligence. Speak to them with concern and sincerity. Speak to them with compassion and with hope, and show them that it's not best to be stubborn. But we see that the response was from Ibrahim alayhislam's father, that he was very stubborn, and he expected him to follow his way. You do what I am doing. You worship whom I am worshipping. You do and manufacture idols the way that I am manufacturing them. But Ibrahim alayhislam, he stood up for the truth, and he stood up for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for monotheism, for the tawheed, and for his own family, and for the future generations. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, he mentions that millata abikum Ibrahim huwa sammakumul muslimin, that this is the way, the path of Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, and he is the one who named us the Muslims, i.e. the ones who truly submit and surrender to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's father's status, his pride and his place in society, he blinded him to the truth. He was unable to process or take any particular information from his son, especially being so young, even though he used the most wise words. He was using his intelligence, he was engaging his mind, he's trying to use logic, and he's trying to do all of these particular approaches. He was unable to look into the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he responded, قَالَ أَرَاغِبٌ أَنْتَ عَنْ آلِهَتِي يَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ وَهْجُرْنِي مَلِيًّا. Do you think that you can turn your back on my gods? And if you just ask yourself, in other particular situations, our parents often sometimes turn around to us and say, do you think you can do this? Our pure, our daddy, everybody has been doing this, and you're telling me you can't do this? You're telling me you're going to change this cultural practice? You're telling me you're going to change X, Y, and Z? This is the response of those fathers. And this is what we need to understand as well, that you will get some pushback from even your own family members, just like Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam did, where he was told, how dare you turn against your family and this tradition and this pride and this honor and this way of life. لَإِنْ لَمْ تَنْتَهِي لَأَرْجُمَنَّكْ وَهَجُرْنِي مَلِيَّ. That if you do not stop talking about this, I'm going to stone you. I'm going to stone you with rocks until you bleed and until you die. This is the father literally, physically threatening his son to torture his son and to kill his son, saying, you better get out of here. I don't want to see you. Run away. I disown you. You have no place whatsoever within my home. Why? Because he stood up for the truth. He spoke the truth. He was wise. He used his wisdom. He used his knowledge. And he was trying to correct the actions of his parents, but they did not want to see the truth. So this is how a conversation took place. So imagine the eyes, and imagine the heart, and the pain that Ibrahim alayhisalam felt. That he knew that he couldn't change the behavior or the actions of those people that he loved. So instead of arguing back, or bickering, or fighting, or debating furthermore, what did he simply say, which is recorded there in the Quran? قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. This is all that he said. And this is all that we can do as youngsters, as children as well, when we are trying to guide our parents, because guidance comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can only say, after you have tried your best, that peace be upon you. This is what Ibrahim alayhisalam said. He could have replied in various different ways and attacked him, or tried to dismantle all of his other things to him, or even said oof to him, or said so many other things to him, you're this and you're that, you're Jahannami and you're going to get punished, and X, Y, and Z. Just like sometimes our parents say to us, you're this and you're that, and this is going to happen to you. No, He just said, قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي إِنَّهُ كَانَ بِي حَفِيًّا. That peace be with you, I will ask my Lord to forgive you. I have found that he never denies me any of my requests. So whilst he is feeling abandoned by his own father, he does not feel abandoned or rejected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he says, I will stay away from you and what you worship, and I will pray to my Lord and know that I will not be disappointed in any way whatsoever from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the lesson here from all of this conversation is that when parents or family or friends, they are doing a wrong, especially a religious wrong, a spiritual wrong, something as grave as shirk, or they're telling you to go against the principles of Islam, or they're telling you to do something wrong, or carry on certain traditions which are culturally against Islam, then this is how you need to communicate. Be truthful, be honest, be humble, be sincere, communicate effectively, be wise and use your intelligence and try to make them to see. And if not, then say salam to them and do what you need to do to carry on in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides them in the best of ways. If we see here how he was there speaking and communicating with his father by saying, Ya Abad, and look at how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala repaid Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, because his son many, many years later also responds to him and says, Ya Abad, O my father, do whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded you to do. If'al ma tu'mar satajiduni insha'allahu min as-sabirin. So we as children, we need to make sure that our principles are always there, aligned with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we don't see eye to eye with our parents on religious affairs or cultural affairs, we need to, in a humble, with wisdom, with intelligence, in a logical manner, engage with them and have that healthy dialogue, and then walk away in the best of manners and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide them. وَقُولِ كَوْلِ هَذَا وَاسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ لِي وَلَكُمْ جَزَاكُمُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا.